Jesus. Come on. Man, man. I don't know what kind of week you've had, but I've just been so looking forward to being with you. I've been looking forward all week to this time, this weekend. And I hope you feel that way too. Whether you had an amazing weekend and you're here to celebrate, whether you've had a heavy weekend and you're here to be recharged, I'm so excited about what God is doing in and through you. Something we say is that Sunday is for celebrating us winning the world throughout the week. And that's what we want to do. Not only celebrate what God's done, but also prepare to go and do it again. So I want to welcome you to Faith Promise Church this weekend. If you're a first-time guest, I'm just so, one more time, can we just celebrate our first-time guests? We're so happy that you're here. You are the VIP. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. If you're live at a campus across Tennessee, if you're live online at home or at a coffee shop or guy behind bars, we're just thrilled to be together. Can't wait for this time together. Today's going to be special and impactful for every single one of us. We're in a series right now around relationships, and something we've said, I believe it's true, is that we all have relationships, we all need relationships, but the enemy likes to put walls, the devil likes to put walls where God wants there, has planned for there to be windows. So over the last couple of weeks, we've opened the windows of humility. We've opened the window of supernatural love in our relationships. And I really do pray that the people that are in relationship with us, the people close to us, the people that are just around us, that they can feel a difference. Like you can feel a difference whenever you open the window in the car or at home, that they can feel a fresh breeze of God's love and His grace and His kindness and His power flowing into their lives from the relationship with you. If you've missed any of the last 2 weeks and you need a reminder, or maybe you were here and you just want to spend time with God on that subject, you can go to our YouTube channel. We would love for you to take advantage of that. Today specifically, what we're going to do is we're going to break through the wall of bitterness, right? I've done it from this side. We're going to break through the wall of bitterness, okay? And we are going to open up the window. We're going to open up the window of forgiveness. Okay, that's my fault for switching sides, all right? The wall was moving. Okay, we are going to break through the wall of bitterness, and we're going to open up the window of forgiveness. Now, this is such a significant topic that we've actually made this weekend what we call a make room weekend. That means that we're going to make room in our service to interact with, to take action on, and to apply what God speaks through His Word. So I just pray you would prepare yourself for whatever He has to say, that you would obey. We're going to do three things today. We're going to make room for, number one, to understand God's forgiveness. We're all going to learn something new about God's forgiveness today. The second thing we're going to do is give ourselves God's forgiveness, and then we are going to give others God's forgiveness. So we're going to understand it more fully, we're going to give it to ourselves, and we're going to give it to others. Because listen, let's start from this point. Forgiveness matters to Jesus. Now that's the place where we start from. 40 times in the New Testament, forgiveness is mentioned. And not only that, but in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus' disciples, his friends, when they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And gosh, that's what if somebody asked you how to pray, right? You'd have a lot to try to say, and there's books and books written on it. But Jesus responds to their request to teach them how to pray with 5 short verses in Matthew chapter 6. But one of those 5 is Matthew 6, verse 12, and it says, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. That means that 20% of Jesus' teaching on prayer was about forgiveness. Now you may, oh, that's not too much. Well, if your pizza showed up today with 2 pieces missing, I think I'm doing that math right off the top of my head, right? Would that be an issue for you? Exactly. I've got one honest person, 100%. I'd be chasing somebody down. I'd be making a call. I've got 2 pieces missing. That's 20%. Get it back, right? We'd be rain. We turn into a math genius when it comes to our pizza. So it matters. So us opening up the window of forgiveness in all of our relationships matters to Jesus. I believe Jesus makes that clear a bunch of times, right, in his life on the cross. He said, forgive them. They know not what they do. Jesus modeled forgiveness, but there's one passage that really sticks out to me where Jesus takes time to specifically help us understand the kingdom of God and forgiveness in our lives. Now, this passage is in Matthew 18, and Jesus uses something called a parable or a story to help us to fully understand what the magnitude, and he did it a lot, but this is just such a good one. Okay, and actually, and I know some of us are visual learners, so instead of just reading it, I found this tool called Lumo, and we're actually going to watch, and somebody is going to narrate Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. This is straight scripture, but it's kind of acted out before us. Maybe you've heard this passage, maybe you haven't, but let's watch this together and make room for God to expand our understanding of forgiveness. Again, Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Let's watch it together.
Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart.
Now, in this parable, the king would be God and we would be the servants. And Jesus says some things in here we may not fully understand, but we're going to understand together to help us understand the forgiveness that we've received from God. See, Jesus says that that servant owed the king 10,000 bags of gold. And we just read over that, but the people who were listening, they would have been astonished, or maybe they would have even laughed, because that amount of money would have been more than any king would have. It actually would have been more money than most kingdoms would have had in circulation. This is before they were just, you know, just printing up and making up their own money, okay? And so this would have been more than they could have fathomed. It would have been like, I don't know if your kids have ever done this, if they're like, yeah, Dad, that must cost a gajillion dollars or something like that. That's what it would have felt like to them. Like Jesus was articulating the amount forgiven was incomprehensible. And the reason it's so important for us to get that is because if we understand the window of forgiveness that Jesus has opened in our lives, it should blow down any wall of bitterness in our life. Because of the window that Jesus has opened, it should blow down the walls that we have built up. Now I'm going to say something, and this This is intense and it's on purpose and it's from God's word. It's not my word. So I want you to receive it because I believe it is the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Just receive this. Any bitterness in our lives shows a place where we have walled over the window of God's forgiveness. Any place where we're harboring anger, resentment, bitterness, or unforgiveness is a place where we have walled over the window of God's forgiveness. And that's a hard truth. And hey, we need help with it. And we're actually going to ask God to help us. Just in this next song we're going to do here in a little bit, we're just going to ask God, help us to understand your love, not just in our head, but in our heart. I repeat, this is something that we need help with. And that's actually a great first place to start. No matter where you find yourself relationally this weekend, being humble enough to tell God, I need help better understanding your forgiveness. Actually, in this song, I want to give you something specific to pray. See, whenever Jesus' disciples, when they were receiving this teaching from Jesus on forgiveness, their response is actually recorded in Luke chapter 17. Right after they heard that parable, they said, the apostles said, Lord, increase our faith. And I think when it comes to forgiveness, believers today need to say, Lord, would you increase our faith, our understanding, our belief in your forgiveness that we have given and that we're called to give. We're just going to take a moment right now to thank God for his forgiveness. Before we apply to our life, before we start to make progress, would you just take a moment and ask the Lord to increase your faith? Maybe this is a good time for you to take communion. Communion is a reminder of Jesus' sacrifice for us. But in this time, I actually want to give you a testimony. Every week, we want to give you a testimony of people who are winning their world, and so that you can know that you absolutely can do it. But one of the reasons I want to share this testimony is because they were faithful in moving forward, which I believe that most of us are going to be called to move forward and take action today. But I just want us to see what can happen. This is T.C. Bear at our Bristol campus. And he said, for 37 years, I stumbled through life's, and this is just a part of it. There's so much to this story. He said, I stumbled through life's shadows, lying, stealing, drowning in alcohol and losing my faith. My lowest point came during my wife's high-risk pregnancy, filled with the dread of choosing between her life and my unborn child's, which the doctor told me I might have to make that decision. In those days, depression overwhelmed me, and suicidal thoughts whispered in my ear. One Sunday morning at church, I stood on the brink. I told God it was his move, otherwise I would end my suffering. During the service, as the congregation was called to respond, I was paralyzed by my own despair. Suddenly something shifted, and I felt a nudge from the Lord to step forward, which we're going to feel today. There was a familiar face on the prayer team who met me with open arms. Their prayers pierced through the darkness, lifted the weight that I had borne for too long. God didn't just mend my spirit, he transformed it. He renewed my purpose and called me to ministry. As I watched my family thrive now, my wife and children conquering their own battles, I understood God had always been there, even in the depths of my despair. He was laying the groundwork for the revival, not just in me, but around me. Now is the time. This is his words. Now is the time to take a stand, to forgive the ones that need to be forgiven, to care about other souls rather than condemning them. Now is the time to take a stand for God rather than live for the fear of persecution. Now is the time to win your world and dive into all that God is doing and moving in and through you. Another celebration is that TC got to adopt his oldest daughter this week. I just want to tell you, when God says move, whatever he has to say, we're going to obey. But before we get to that point, can we take a moment and just ask the Lord for a deeper understanding of his love? Increase our faith. 10,000 bags of gold, a bajillion, kajillion, the chasm that he crossed to forgive us, it's impossible to wrap our minds around. Would you ask him in this moment to help wrap your heart around it? Will you stand with me as we prepare to respond? God, we just want to worship you right now. And we're going to do some hard work here in a moment. But we want to start by praising you and thanking you for your forgiveness. Right now, God, would you just plug our hearts into the source and the power of your forgiveness, of your grace, of the identity that only comes in the love that you have given us? Please, Father God, give us a fresh revelation right now of your love and your grace. As we worship you, we grab on to what the apostles prayed. Increase our faith. God, as we pray right now, would you just give us a beyond our theological understanding, beyond our raising by parents, whether we had it or not, but beyond all those things, whether it was good or bad, would you just increase our faith, increase our understanding, increase our obedience. God, that whatever you have to say, we will obey, that the forgiveness and the grace that we've been given is beyond comprehension, and so our obedience level will be on beyond comprehension. That's what it'll be. It'll be yes and amen. So God, as we get into the hard work here in a moment, God, we want to grab a hold of what we've just plugged into, which is an incomprehensible forgiveness you've given. And if we've gotten that, God, then we can act on that. We can receive that for ourselves and others. In your name we pray, amen. You can have a seat. If you're praying at campuses, keep on. That's what this time is for. But now that we've taken time to better understand and appreciate and ask for more of God's forgiveness, let's do some application. Let's do some equipping in our lives. And you may ask, What does it look like to apply forgiveness that's beyond understanding? 10,000 bags of gold, a bajillion, kajillion. Like what? How do you apply something like that? Well, the first step, and this may not be where your mind went, but this is the case. The first step is to open the window of God's forgiveness to ourselves. That's the first step. Listen, whether you're a senior adult in here, whether you're a sixth grader in here, or anywhere in between, you have to open up God's grace and forgiveness to yourself. I may not have to tell you this, you might know this, but listen, no one has done more to you. No one has believed worse things about you. No one has said more terrible things about you than you. It's not even close. And listen, this is a bigger issue for some than others. Some of you guys, it's real easy to love yourself and to believe. But listen, it's a growing epidemic that we have a hard time. I have a hard time doing that. If you have a hard time forgiving yourself, if you're like me and you have a hard time, you beat yourself up or you don't give yourself very much grace, then you and I are falling for a trick of the enemy. The devil knows if we will not open the window of grace of God's forgiveness to ourselves, then we will not be able to open it or at least keep it open for others. If you're sitting here thinking, gosh, I have such a hard time forgiving others or loving others, do you forgive you? Do you love you? This verse was so powerful for me, and this is why Paul, who helped spread the Jesus across the known world, listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 4:3. He says, I care very little if I'm judged by you or any human court. This was the part that just wrecked me. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. Indeed, I do not even, can I ask you, who do you let judge you? If Paul, who spoke directly with Jesus, who wrote 13 books of the New Testament, if he was not qualified to judge himself, I don't think I'm qualified to judge myself. Do you think that you're qualified to judge yourself? That's Jesus' job. Remember why Jesus came in John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting eternal life. But 17 is just as important. For God did not send his son to the world to condemn it, to judge it, to shame it, to beat it up, but to save it, to forgive it, to free it, which is you and me. Can I ask you, are you closing the window of forgiveness that Jesus has opened to you? Remember that parable that we watched and read in Matthew chapter 18, and that servant gets so forgiven that he goes out and starts to choke a fellow servant over a couple bucks who he felt like owed him something. Can I ask you, before we get to other people, that's not where we start. When you leave God's presence on Sunday, or students on Wednesday, or a great quiet time with God, do you go out and not beat up somebody, but beat you up? Are there things that you won't forgive yourself for? Because Jesus has. Are there places that you won't believe in yourself? Because Jesus does. Are there promises of God that you will not apply to you? You'll apply them to your kids. You'll apply them to your church. You'll apply them to something, but you won't apply them to you? Listen, doing these things is walling over the window of grace and forgiveness that God has given us. And can I just be candid? Biblically, I believe it frustrates, or at least breaks, the heart of God that we do that. Because you're his child too. Because he loves you. And guess what the devil knows that we tend to forget? You cannot give a love you won't receive. You cannot give a love to your family, your coworkers, to the world that you won't receive from Jesus yourself. So we're going to take some time right now to respond. And I know that there's most of the room that needs to respond. And so I'm going to ask you to be bold. So let's just prepare to be bold. Just go ahead and stand up for me. And just me and you in the room. I want you to stand up. I just want you to close your eyes real quick. Close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you a question. What is it that you won't forgive yourself for? What is it that you won't give yourself grace for? And I'm going to ask you, whatever the Holy Spirit just spoke into your heart, that you would speak out loud to somebody in the room you're in before you leave. There'll be prayer team members all across the front. Maybe you need to grab your spouse's hand and tell them, students, maybe you grab your parents' hand and tell them, students, maybe you need to lead the way. Hey, I know you. Maybe you grew up in a divorced home and you have anger and bitterness and unforgiveness and confusion. You need somebody to pray for you. In James chapter 5, it says we go to God for forgiveness, and we go to each other for healing. And maybe you feel like you've asked for forgiveness, you tried to give it, but you've never went and got prayer and walked in healing. Now's the time. Now's the time. So God, as we prepare to worship, God, we're prepared to do work right now. We came to church to do work right now. So whether we need to pray with our family, whether we need to come up front, maybe I bet you there are spouses right now who they feel the tension between them and they need forgiveness, but they're not sure how to start. Just come up front. You don't have to say a word. Just look us in the eyes, and the Holy Spirit's going to let us know to fight for that marriage, to fight for the forgiveness that Jesus has already provided. God, whatever you have to say today, we will obey. We will not walk out of here without forgiving ourselves with the forgiveness that you have given us. Let us walk in freedom. Whatever you say, we will obey. God, I'm so grateful for the people who were obedient. But I'm just burdened that this is eating us alive. That there's still people across our church, across the state, that right now they're at a coffee shop or they're at a campus and they didn't even feel like they were good enough to move forward. If you're struggling with forgiving yourself or giving yourself grace, just right where you are, we just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. I just want to pray for you. God, you put those hands down. God, right now you saw them. And this is a moment just for us to grow. God, whenever you tell us to move, we're going to move. But God, even just raising that hand's enough. And I just want to rebuke in the power of the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit. that's been given us. God, I want to rebuke those thoughts of suicide. I want to rebuke those thoughts of depression and unforgiveness and anger and bitterness and fear, God, and of abandonment and of not being good enough and being lazy and being dumb and being ugly. God, all these things that we believed about ourselves, God, would you just give us the grace that you've given? Let it wash over us. Let it just pour over us like warm oil, God, of the blessing of your Holy Spirit as sons and daughters of the Most High King, so that we can walk in the freedom that you've called us, God. God, you are so gracious to us. You are so good to us, God. Let us receive all that you poured onto us, God. Please, God, let us receive it. In your name we pray. Amen. Give God some praise. He's worthy. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Come on. You guys can have a seat. Hey, guys, we're digging right now. We're doing some hard work. And there's spiritual warfare going on. That's why maybe you knew, hey, I was supposed to move and I didn't. There's something holding me back. That's the enemy wanting to keep you in bondage. So let's keep on going. Now, is it crazy that God has offered us this grace and forgiveness for ourselves, but he's allowed us to be the agents, the ambassadors to bring that forgiveness to the world? However, one of the enemy's greatest weapons to keep us from sharing God's love and God's forgiveness is keeping us from forgiving. You might know this, but maybe you don't. People can feel God's forgiveness through our forgiveness. People can feel God's grace and presence open up in their life through it in your life. The first Bible they might read, the first church they might attend, be at your house, be in your cubicle, at your homeroom. Is there a person or a group of people that you need to forgive? Listen, has our world not made a business out of bitterness? Has it not made a whole division out of division? Listen, I know this can be hard, but can we just do a cost analysis on not forgiving? Can we just be real at church today? Let's do a little cost analysis on what happens if we won't forgive. A cost analysis, like, hey, what will happen if? Let me give you just three reasons or three things that will happen if we don't show that forgiveness. One, people may not feel God's forgiveness. That's reason enough to do it. People may not feel God's forgiveness if we don't forgive. Two, you will not live in the freedom that God has for you because you're not living as he's called you to. I think those two things are enough. Can we just go the whole way? You won't be forgiven. Well, that's scary. Yeah, totally it is. We live with the fear of God, not with the fear of man. Zach, are you just trying to peer pressure me into it? No. Let me go back to the end of that parable that Jesus told to us and the disciples that we watched in Matthew 18. The end says, then the master called in the servant and said, you wicked servant. He said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, the same that I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back what he owed. That's the end of the parable. Now Jesus switches from the parable into the brass taxes, into, hey, this is what's going on. He says, this is how my Father in heaven will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Listen, my pastor's heart wants to soften those words, but I'm not going to. This is how my Father in heaven will treat you unless you forgive one another from your heart. As I've been praying about this, I've seen people running to the altar, just laying down, asking the Lord, help me forgive them so I can be forgiven. And listen, I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation, things like that. We'll post some stuff to help you better understand that on social media this week. But let's stay focused. Let's stay focused. Are we forgiving as Christ has called us to? If not, will you right now in this moment, will you let the power of God's word compel you to obey what he's called you to? Again, the prayer team will be up front. spouses, maybe it's between you, kids, maybe students, maybe you have some anger, some unforgiveness towards your parents. Now's the time. Again, students and young adults, I've told you, we'll follow you into revival, but we have to be obedient. Maybe you could help lead the way. Do you have anger or bitterness or unforgiveness towards a person or towards a group of people? Because now is the time to lay that. If you need help, we would love to help. We'd love to pray with you. There's no judgment. There's just an overwhelming desire that we would live in God's freedom. So one more chance, one more time in this moment of repentance, will you stand with me and let me pray for us as we prepare to respond? God, you're pushing us right now. You're pushing us. You have your hand on our back, just like you do with TC at the Bristol campus, and just saying, you know you got to go. You know you got to go. And so, God, would you just, whatever you have to say, we'll obey. God, we need to forgive. God, we need to receive it, and we need to give it. But God, we need you to increase our faith. So right now, as we sing, would you increase our faith? Would you have us come forward for prayer? Could we gather and pray as a family? Please, God, don't let us leave with any bitterness towards an ex or towards a mom or a dad who have left, or towards a boss or a coworker or a friend or a sibling, anybody. There's not any bitterness or unforgiveness that's worth missing out on what you have to offer. So today, we bow our knee to your word, not to our feelings or to what the world says is right. Right now, we surrender. We will forgive. We will not walk out. If we need help, we'll come forward. We'll pray as families, but we will leave today with full forgiveness for ourselves and others. As you're ready, let's respond.